It's better over here.
AT&T customers, switching to T-Mobile has never been easier. We'll pay off your existing phone and give you a new one free. All on America's largest 5G network. Visit T-Mobile.com/carrierfreedom to switch today.
Pay off up to $650 via virtual prepaid MasterCard in 15 days. Free phone up to $830 via 24 monthly bill credits plus tax. Qualifying port-in trade-in service on Go5G Next and credit required. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance and required finance agreement is due.
The ticket texters are pointing out they could be called Costa Locks.
Oh, yeah.
I like
there
it.
You go.
Or
yeah.
This one says the Jim Costa Frost-a-Lock Guarantee.
I like it, too.
You know, I like the creative ticket text. Not so much today. 248-539-9797.
You thought he was talking about the dictionary, didn't you?
What do you mean?
The show the Webster.
No, yeah. I didn't. I did look up what the show is.
Do you recognize it?
I don't.
Oh.
Really?
I thought you'd recognize
Webster?
The characters. Yeah. I mean, yeah. I never saw it either, but I know it.
Huh. Or Alex Karras. You didn't recognize him on it?
I know Alex Karras played for the Lions, yes.
Yes. No, I know that.
But I didn't know
he don't know he was an actor?
No.
Oh, wow. Huh. Introducing something new, Detroit sports to you almost every day, it seems like.
Just lifelong learner, John. We're going to get to the Thursday touchdown later this hour. We have phone calls. We brought up a coworker, not someone from the station.
Mm-hmm.
Tom observed
somebody in the building.
Yes, yeah. An aggressive hair dye job. And we were asking guys about, do you just accept it and go gray? Your personal experiences with that. Let's get to a couple quick phone calls. Joe in Shelby Township. Joe, good morning. You're on 97.1.
Good morning.
Good morning, Joe.
Can you hear me?
Yeah, we got you.
All right, yeah. So I work in construction, and in the morning our boss comes in, and he's got, like, jet black hair all of a sudden. And we're like, dude, did you dye your hair? And he was denying it. But halfway through the day, you know, we started working and sweating and stuff. And he's just got black stuff coming down his face. He's like rubbing his head. He pretty much just wiped it all over his face. And we were dying all day about it. So he couldn't deny it anymore. But I thought you guys would get a kick out of that one.
You caught him.
Oh.
Yeah.
Yeah.
At that point, there's nothing you could do.
That's got to be so satisfying,
too. He was screwed over.
Yeah.
And then you can never stop giving him a hard time because he denied it.
No, yeah, it was bad, too, because the way he was wiping it on his face, I mean, he was like almost going blackface by the end of the day.
Oh, my God.
Nobody was saying nothing, you know?
Oh, boy.
Man. Joe, appreciate the phone call. Let's get to Mike in Detroit. Mike, good morning. What's up?
Good morning. How y'all doing?
Good.
Good. Hey, man. Me and my brother, we are polar opposites with this situation. He has a receding hairline, and then I just started turning gray. I'm like 2 years older than him, and so like I mean I'm gonna take the going gray all day long. I got a box just for men in my bathroom right now. I look at it every day, and I'm like, nope, not today. Not today, but I look at it every day, and my wife tells me she thinks it's sexy, you know, and I look forward to when my beard is all silver, you know, and everything. I look forward to that.
Yeah.
I think it's a badge of honor, right? Getting old?
Yeah.
It's better than the alternative, distinguished.
I'm going to embrace it, you know? I earned it. I got 7 kids. I earned it.
Yeah.
Heck yes, you did.
That's one way to go gray quicker, right?
Yes. Yeah. Yes. You think I'd be full of gray hair.
We got Aaron Glenn. Look at, he's letting it go.
Yeah.
He looks distinguished over there. I mean, what if he went the Ryan Day route? Oh, wouldn't be the same with the whole glasses being wet, would it?
Well, it's same thing with like Lovie Smith and Dion.
Yeah.
Dion, you see him in the interviews now, and he's got the full gray beard.
Because if you don't embrace it, it looks cheap, it looks phony, and the worst case scenario, you're right. You got the dye.
Yeah, it's running
down,
down
your.
Yes.
Yeah,
you gotta believe it.
I mean, that should not. That should not be happening.
Yeah, I mean, he must have just put it in and left it in.
Wash your hair. I don't know how Just for Men works, but typically you dye your hair and you wash out the dye. I mean,
I would think
dye
so.
Dye should not be running down your face.
No.
That's great.
Yes, unless he went with the paint.
The spray paint.
Yeah, I know some guys. Well, that used to be a thing, right? For the bald spot, right? You'd color the bald spot.
That's the worst.
What do you mean? Like with like a Sharpie?
Like a spray paint. No, like a bottle of like hairspray that's colored.
You've heard about that before, haven't
you? Yes. Yeah. Does it really exist? I mean, it must. Well, I know they have, well, I mean, sure it exists. I know they've got like dry shampoos that are colored for anybody can use them, but
sure.
I don't.
What's like the whole point of a dry shampoo?
Oh, John, dry shampoo is amazing. It lets you go a little bit longer in between washes. It takes out some of the oils in your hair, so your hair doesn't, you know, especially if you have more like a greasier, oily hair.
So you don't have to shower your head or your feet?
Gives your hair more volume.
Oh, it does. Oh.
Yep. Dry shampoo is awesome.
John.
I don't wash my hair every day. That's no secret.
Well, I, you know what? That's something I learned. There's a lot of people that don't, even when they shower every day, but they don't wash their hair every day.
I don't. I shower every day. I have a little like hair wrap that I put my hair up in. I mean, one, my hair takes forever to blow dry. Who's got time for that?
Right.
But two, I wash my hair probably every 3 days.
Okay. I mean, that's something I had not heard of. I think until maybe we discussed this a couple of years ago. I didn't even know that was a thing.
Mm-hmm. Learning something new every day, a theme. Okay.
You wash your hair every day?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Most guys do.
Yeah, I would think so because my hair is basically dry before I even get out of the
shower. Exactly. It's not a whole deal.
Yeah.
So we've had some fun today. Dear John at 902 is all Thanksgiving this week.
Mm. My favorite holiday.
We've got questions about mac and cheese. Mm-hmm. Hosting or not hosting, refusing to host, help with a new Thanksgiving tradition, and a question about the Lions game impacting someone's Thanksgiving. All life advice questions for John Jansen coming up at 9:02. Speaking of life advice, we have Sharon Moore on every single week. Mm-hmm. And it's at this point obligatory. We ask, is Will Johnson going to come back and play this week? And every week it's, well, we're just going to lean on what the doctors say, and he's working hard and he's getting closer to it. They have said he's not opting out of the season. But John, it's been a minute, and I wonder if the consideration is there. Should he opt out at this point? Likely a top 10 pick. You're not making the college football playoff. You're not winning the Big Ten. Should he just opt out at this point of the season? Because I totally understand if he does.
So, I mean, so much has changed. And I can really only give you my perspective as a player. It's not something I would do. But I've come to accept, and it's been mostly bowl games where guys opt out of bowl games, which is, you know, it happens every year. And it even where it really bothers me is guys that take advice from their agents that opt out that shouldn't and still need, you know, to prove to either get drafted, improve their draft stock. That's not where Will Johnson is. I mean, I would hope that he would play if he is available, especially in the very last game of the year. Because even though Will Johnson, we know he's going to be a top pick in the NFL draft. He's got skills that some people don't have, and he's also been granted, you know, the great DNA of being, you know, taller for a corner, the speed, all of that stuff. But he's going to be going against NFL talent when he plays against Ohio State, and when you come to Michigan, one of the games that you want to highlight what you can do is in the Ohio State game. And so I would hope that if he's available to go, that he would.
Yeah, again, I think there's some questions about what exactly is going on because we haven't gotten specifics on the injury or timelines from the beginning.
Yeah, but that's not unique to Michigan or any injured player.
No, but it's what I preface it with. It's possible he legitimately got hurt and that he does want to come back and play in the Ohio State game. And maybe he's not going to play like a game last week or this week because the Ohio State game is the only one worth coming back for. I don't know. I'm just theorizing. But I would get it if he said, I'm just going to shut it down for the season. I've got top 10 money on the line. I don't want to have a knee injury. I don't want to have a scary career-altering injury. Michigan's not playing for really much of anything at this point in the season, especially if they beat Northwestern this week. They're going to a bowl game either way. I just didn't know how you would feel about it because games changed, and the idea of someone sitting out the Ohio State game feels like that would be something you wouldn't like.
No, I wouldn't like it for anybody.
But we've seen this, like, other side of the rivalry. Nick Bosa got hurt his final season in Columbus, got hurt in September, and shut it down.
And they're playing for a lot more.
Right, and he did not play in the Michigan-Ohio State game, and he went on to be drafted very high. He's been paid. He's produced. He's an NFL superstar. That's just the reality. Like, I wouldn't look at Will Johnson any differently. And I actually think my advice to him would be to shut it down at this point. There's not that much to gain at this point playing the final two games in a lost season.
I understand your perspective, and I understand why guys would when they're talking about the amount of money and the examples. Even though they may be rare, there are examples of guys playing in, quote-unquote, their final college game or at the end of the season and getting hurt. And if he's not 100%, if he's already playing hurt, you don't want him to re-injure something that would cost him opportunity to train for the combine, to train for, you know, pro days, all of those different things. So, I mean, I understand it. I don't have to accept it personally, but I understand it.
248-539-9797. We'll get some thoughts on Will Johnson. Will he play again this season? What advice would you give him? It's 97.1. Read some ticket text. Get John's thoughts on this. Dear John, coming up at 9:02, but some advice for Will Johnson. Texter says, if he's hurt, I completely understand. If not, get in there and play the last game. You can skip the bowl game. Ticket Texter says, he's absolutely opting out without saying it. How can you be week to week for 5 weeks in a row? He's doing what Jackson Smith and Jigba did a few years ago. He probably shouldn't play against Ohio State because if he were to get torched, he'd lose out on some big money, not to mention the injury possibility.
I actually agree with that. The big difference with Jackson Smith and Jigba is they were competing for a national championship.
Right, and Michigan's likely beating Northwestern this week. Bowl game secured. It's a lost season. I mean, John knows this.
I continuously question Smith and Jigba. It just didn't make sense that he wasn't playing. And they were competing for a national championship. And I thought he was pulling the first guy on a contender to sit. That's the difference here. Didn't Sauce Gardner play in the playoff game?
Sounds right for Cincinnati the year they made it.
You know, if they're playing for something, they'll play.
Yeah. Well, but this person argues you're always playing for something with Ohio State. Says, what do you mean nothing's on the line? The intensity of the game is on the line. So, John, you're around Will Johnson a little bit. If he came up to you and said, hey, John, you played in the league. I know you probably, you know, have a certain perspective on this. What would you advise me to do? If he goes, I'm on the fence, I might be able to make it back for Ohio State. Is it worth risking it?
My advice would be play. It would always be to play, but I am from, we talk about graying hair and all this. I played in a different era of college football.
So he could come up and go, John, you're kind of a dinosaur. Help me out.
Oh yeah. I mean, that would be the context that I would lead with.
Yeah.
I am from a different era of college football. I'm from a different era of professional football. And so this is my perspective. This is my experience, but I also if given the opportunity to play extra games in college, I would have done it. I don't know necessarily, and to be completely honest, if I was a player at this time,
you still would.
I think I still would. And it's just because that's me.
Yeah.
But I'm not going to sit here and chastise any college football player for making a decision that they believe is going to be best for them in their future. I don't have to like it, but I'll support them in their decision. It's their life. It's their decision to make.
I think there's much more to lose than to gain from him playing at this point.
Well, the only one I don't like is the ticket texter that said, you know, you could lose a lot by getting torched. Okay. Yeah, that's anytime you take the field, that's a thing. But I don't know that there's a competitor out there that would view it as such. Like, I don't want to go play because I could get beat.
That doesn't enter the mindset of a hyper-competitive 20-year-old.
Of a high-level college athlete, pro athlete, anybody.
Doesn't he have 2 pick sixes this year?
Yeah.
I think he's provided the film. You know, he was getting picked on a little bit at one point this season. I do think the aggression of the defense was hanging him out to dry to a degree. Would you agree with that?
So when he was playing, it felt like the mindset was, we're going to leave him on an island every single time because we need to back up some of these other guys. And we're just going to say, hey, this third of the field or this half of the field is covered by Will Johnson.
The best ticket text on this. Will Johnson should stay injured through the draft, so Holmes can feel like taking a chance on him late. You know, Brad Holmes loves his his injured players, so he can get upside out of. No, Will Johnson, if he doesn't play again, will be conservatively what? He'll be picked in the top 15.
Yeah, I would probably say, I mean, okay, conservatively, yeah, top 15.
Could be top 10, you
could
feel
be
like,
top 10, could be top 5, depending on the quarterback class, how they're evaluated, as well as some needs of the teams that are going to be drafting at the top.
All right, something to watch for. Will he play again this season? We'll get to Dear John at 9:02, Thursday touchdown. But first, Heather with the news.
Well, I feel like we've talked about the buffering that Netflix had during the Mike Tyson and Jake Paul fight over and over and over and over, but it's still an issue. And all of those issues were so severe that apparently the NFL did reach out to the streaming service for just some reassurance about the upcoming pair of games that were going to be taking place on Christmas Day. So on Christmas Day, Netflix will be streaming NFL games between the Chiefs and the Steelers and the Ravens and the Texans. And
good games.
They will be the first games to ever be streamed on Netflix. So I understand the concern by the NFL, right? We do not want to have these same issues going on during a game. So apparently Netflix has said, hey, nope, we got this, right? But I guess what they told the NFL was that part of the issue was the sheer volume of viewership, which to me wouldn't settle my nerves because I would say, well, do you know how many people we expect to be watching these games?
Have you heard of this thing called the National Football League?
Right.
But so in comparison, and I looked these numbers up after because I was concerned about it as well. I think Christmas Day last year, they were right around 38, 39 million viewers.
So
less than what the Tyson fight was
for sure
for streaming.
Well, they originally said it was 60 mil for the
Tyson,
fight, but then they went up and said it was 108 million.
Right. So I don't know that the numbers will be as big as that one thing, but I that's the only thing I thought about while this was going on was don't ruin my Christmas Day.
Yeah. You know what? I mean, they've had issues over a much smaller viewership. I don't know if anyone out there used to watch the original season of Love is Blind, but when we all tuned in for the finale live on Netflix, they failed. They couldn't even, because so many people were trying to watch that. And that was, I'm guessing, a couple years ago. I can't even remember when that took place. But this has been an issue for Netflix in the past. So hopefully they get their act together. This is a great story. The Howell Nature Center will be able to reopen its rehab center thanks to a ton of donations made by the community. They were able to raise over $100,000 all in donations. This rehab center was forced to close just because it was falling on hard times. A lot of the cost of food, medicine, utilities was just going up and up and up, and they just weren't able to keep up with it. So they had to close down. The center is used to rehab injured or orphaned wildlife. They typically help about 300 animals, but has only cared for about 30 since it closed. So it hasn't been able to do what they do. So the community just rallied together. So many people opened up their checkbooks. With the assistance of just over 1,000 donors, the center exceeded the goal to raise $100,000. It's going to reopen later this week. And also, because it's reopening, the center is going to be able to rehire some of the staff that it was forced to let go. So this is great news. Here's the CEO actually discussing the influx in donations. It's a great story.
It's a good story.
Nice to hear for sure. You guys, three hunters have died of apparent heart attacks in the opening days of firearm deer season. And now there is a local medical examiner that's encouraging at-risk hunters to just go and do like a doctor evaluation. Make sure you're in shape. He's actually saying, you know what? You almost need to start prepping for hunting season. If this is something, if you're retired, you're not doing a lot of activity anymore, you're going to be doing some activity while you're hunting, because two of these men died, had these heart attacks while they were trying to haul their deer away because it's so heavy, right? So this guy is saying, hey, you know, start walking a month or two before hunting season. Start doing maybe some light weightlifting. Watch your diet. Just, I mean, you should do that in general.
Regardless,
but if you're going to be out there hunting, because he says, you know, he's not seen this before where people are just kind of dropping like flies. Not that.
Yeah.
I mean, it's three people, but
it's three,
still.
It's three more than needs to be.
Right. So one of them was a 65-year-old man from Bay City, an 83-year-old Portage man, and a 57-year-old from Lincoln Park.
Yeah. It's, I mean, the increase in activity over just a day versus what you've done the entire year.
Yep. The UMass football program parted ways with head coach Don Brown on Monday. We discussed that when it happened. That was midway through his third season. And a couple of days after his firing, his wife, Deborah, took to social media to air some complaints about her husband's departure. Specifically, she raised the issue of the lack of NIL funding the university received. So she alleged that the NIL valuation of the teams UMass
faced
in 2024 was more than that of $48 million combined compared to their $36,000.
That's kind of always been the argument with UMass of being a Division I football team, is that they just don't have the same resources to pull from as other schools, even whether it's in their conference or other schools that they're going to be playing against.
Yeah.
Because actually, are they in a conference?
No, I believe they're independent.
No, they're independent. Yeah. So it makes it even tougher.
Yeah. It's cold today. The temperatures dropped. We had snow on the ground. Not a lot.
Like dust.
I was parked in the driveway, not in the garage. So there was a dusting of snow on the door handles, on the windshield. And guys, this story is for you. You got to start looking out because unfortunately, with the colder weather, it means you got to watch out for winter penis. It is here. There is a doctor warning to watch out for this seasonal condition that may hinder your ability to perform sexually. Yikes.
Because
right?
It's cold outside?
Yes.
Chances are you're not doing it outside.
So this condition, which affects men of all ages, can cause your member to shrink in size by up to 50%. And for certain men 50%. Who are already struggling with certain things in the bedroom, this could be a big deal. Now, of course, this is only seasonal, right? Like, this is not going to last forever. However,
I've never heard of this.
Yeah, can we get a...
is there a flip side to this?
There sure is.
So when you get 50% more?
You and the temperatures warm up.
I think everybody is familiar with shrinkage. Yes. This is the shrinkage at its ultimate... You know,
this is extreme shrinkage is what this is.
Yes, it lasts a full season.
It lasts a full season.
A
wow.
Full season.
Yes. Time
of
to move.
Shrinkage. Be careful, guys and ladies. Look out.
Yeah. Well, I guess you don't have to.
Well.
Look out.
Well.
Be aware
where is
of.
It?
Oh. All right. Thursday touchdowns next. That's enough. It's 97-1. We got ticket text responding to the Thursday touchdown. We brought up a bunch of things in there. Ben Johnson, where would the best fit for him be? Dan Campbell, coach of the year. We haven't really talked about that.
No.
And John, if they win 14 or 15 games, like very much a real thing. Right now, only Mike Tomlin has better odds to win coach of the year in the NFL than Dan Campbell.
It feels like Mike Tomlin's doing more with less.
Sure. But that didn't get AJ manager of the year. I know, different sport. I would just feel really lousy if Campbell never wins coach of the year, given the transformation that he has led in Detroit, because, well, now they have too many all pros and it's expected right. That they're the best team.
They're just good. They're just going to roll the ball out and win.
Right. And yet they have had to overcome a Hutch injury, now Anzalone injury, J-Mo suspension for a couple games.
Among Barnes, Kaminsky, like you go down the list, Davenport.
Double digit deficits in road games this season that they've come back to win, like to be the leader and to keep the ship on the straight and narrow. Like absolutely Dan Campbell to me is the coach of the year. And that's not to disrespect Mike Tomlin. When we talk about 15 or more wins in a season, it's only happened 7 times. Bill Belichick went 16-0 in the regular season, the 07 Patriots, he won coach of the year. Ron Rivera, 15-1, Panthers, he won coach of the year. Mike Ditka, 15-1, 85 Bears, won coach of the year. Now, it's not a given because there's coaches who've won 15 and not won Coach of the Year, like Mike McCarthy in 2011. They were coming off a Super Bowl win.
Right.
And I think the fact that the team was good was held against Mike McCarthy. Bill Cowher went 15-1. Denny Green went 15-1. Bill Walsh went 15-1. And those guys didn't win Coach of the Year. So it's not a given. But man, does it feel like if he wins 15 or more, they got to give him Coach of the Year.
I would think so because of the things that this team has been able to overcome. And it's not a cumulative award. So things that happened in 21, 22, 23, they don't build up to this year. It's simply what have you done this year. But when you lose your best defensive player and you've had a rash of injuries more on one side of the ball than the other, yeah, I think Aaron Glenn will get a lot of credit. Ben Johnson's going to get a lot of credit. But the guy that has kept the ship afloat is Dan Campbell. He's the one that sets the culture day in, day out. He is the one that is continuing to push these guys, even though you get a win over the Texans, but you don't look good. He's the one with his thumb on the coaches who then put their thumb on the players to make sure that, hey, we got to correct these things to be able to play then like they did against Jacksonville.
And you know who recognizes that? Ben Johnson. It's why he stayed when he had options last year. And he may stay again this year. John, I don't know. Clearly, he is not a traditional coach in the sense that you jump for the first head coaching job offered because you just don't know when they're going to come around. He's very confident and self-assured. He's comfortable in Detroit, and he knows he's going to have his pick again this offseason, and he can be selective.
Yeah, he can be selective. And if there's not one that he likes ownership, front office, and the roster, or at least the ability to improve the roster, I why would he leave?
You brought up Jacksonville, and I made the mention of the Bears. Ticket Texter says, you guys throwing Caleb away is a joke. He's thrown 7 touchdowns, 0 picks his last 7 games, no line, no leader as a head coach, and they've already fired his OC. For a rookie, that's a pretty horrible setup. For comparison, Trevor Lawrence threw 12 touchdowns and 17 interceptions in his rookie year. Just relax. That's from Justin and Troy.
Yeah, trust me. A rookie quarterback that starts from day one, there's nothing that I'm going to sit there and say I don't think that they should get more opportunity or that they're a throwaway. It's coming out 2 years ago, I didn't like Bryce Young. I didn't think he was going to be successful. So I'm going to give him, in my estimation, less opportunity to be an NFL quarterback than I would a Trevor Lawrence or a Caleb Williams. The thing about Caleb Williams is he's going to have to learn to play in a structure. He was so good at USC about being able to get outside of structure and make plays with his feet to be able to extend plays and make, you know, throws downfield. These guys in the NFL are really good defensively. They're really fast. And those opportunities can often be painful opportunities.
And usually if you throw interceptions in college, you throw them in the pros. And I know that they can use that stat all they want. Well, okay, so 7 touchdowns in 7 games. I mean, he has not looked good this year. Doesn't mean I could be very wrong about him. They've already drafted the wrong guy. They already made a mistake. I think the Bears made almost as well of a franchise-altering trade as the Lions did with Stafford when the Bears made that trade to get the
with
capital.
Carolina. Yeah.
Yes. And my belief is they've completely jacked it up, which is great news for the division. But, you know, ESPN GetUp just did a QB redraft this year. And the order was Daniels, May, Williams, Knicks.
Yeah, I would say whoever Ben Johnson gets to work with is going to get a career bump. And I think Lawrence would benefit. I think Caleb would benefit. And Caleb costs a lot less than Trevor Lawrence. So you talk about team building and putting supporting cast around him. You know, that would be a consideration too.
The issue, though, that Ben Johnson is going to face on a regular basis is the jobs that become available
are bad jobs.
Well, they're bad jobs, and they're typically bad franchises that are always wallowing around in the bottom. Now, what has he learned from Dan Campbell? Because he was here before Dan.
Yeah, when it was bad, he was here during Patricia.
And so he has seen the entire transformation of how to do this. He has been a part of the blueprint. He's got all of the back door knowledge, back room knowledge of being able to, this is how you build it. This is how you do. But it has to be paired with a really good GM.
Correct. And we were fixating on jobs that we believe will be open. There's always a surprise. So like if Andy Reid walks away, I know you want to be selective. Can you really pass up a chance to coach Kansas City and Patrick Mahomes? If the Eagles throw Sirianni out, and you go, that's an elite O-line with a quarterback and a run game. Boy, you could see some of the elements of Detroit being incorporated in Philadelphia. To a lesser extent, Joe Burrow and the Bengals. Now, they have organizational issues, but the surprise job is probably the job that he's going to hold out for.
And some of those maybe, and Kansas City aside, because you know he's going to do what he wants to do.
Yeah.
And if he decides that this is the time, Andy Reid, I'm going to walk away from football. I'm done. I've done all I wanted to do. That's one thing. But whether it's the Eagles or it's another job that may open up, it's going to, again, be some of those conversations that happen. You know, could call it tampering, call it whatever you want. We know the conversations happen. We're not going to get rid of our coach unless we know we can get Ben Johnson.
Makes sense to me. All right, 9 o'clock hour. We've got Dear John at 9:02 and a look ahead to tonight in Detroit sports. It's 97.1.